Okay, we're going to talk today about the first Sudas Purim. When did the first Sudas Purim take place?
The
15th. I wonder if that was the date. You know, it's a trick question, right? That's not going to be all. The Sudas Purim took place a year after the Haman was killed and the Jews were saved. Yes and no. On a certain level, a Sudas Purim took place, about 800-900 years before then. Listen to what the Sfas Emes, I'm not going to quote you. I'll quote you Sfas Emes on Parshas Miketz. It says, Ilan, is Tzvi around? Tzvi Woody, is he there?
Yeah,
tell him to come in, I don't want him to say.
Seven, 800 years,
something like that. I'll tell you what it is in a second. Try to figure it out. It's a pasuk in Chumash Bereishis.
Does that have to do with Yaakov and Esav?
Nope. Okay. Okay. We're talking about the first Sudas Purim. So the Sfas Emes says on the pasuk, "Vayishtu vayishkaru imo." They drank and they got drunk with him. Who is that about? Yosef and his brothers. When the brothers came back with the, they were set up with the money in their saddlebags, and they came back and they were all afraid that who knows what's going to happen to them. So the Yosef's right hand man tells him, "Don't worry." Yosef invites him in, and they eat together and they got drunk together. So listen to the Sfas Emes. Vayishkaru hu marumaz al Purim. They got drunk is an allusion to Purim. Upnimius, and he says something here. I didn't quote the whole thing. Upnimius ela hadvarim yuvnu lamaskil bekavonas chayev adam chayev lebsumi bepuria ad lo yada. The inner meaning of what I've just said will be understood by people who understand what it means. A person must get drunk in Purim until ad lo yada. And Rav Tzadok HaKohen, he says more or less the same thing, slightly different. He says that Yosef, at that encounter with his brothers, thought that he could get to the point where they would really connect with whatever it is we connect to when we go beyond Ad Lo Yada, and thereby wipe out a Molech for good. First Sudas Purim, what does it all mean? Yeah.
You thought that by getting drunk you whip out a mullet?
Whatever we are supposed to accomplish by getting drunk on Purim, which is on some level overcoming a mullet, maybe the mullet within yourself, on some level it's overcoming a mullet. He thought he could do the ultimate job with his brothers at that Suda. Yeah.
Doesn't it also say in the past stuff, and maybe I just don't remember this correctly, but doesn't it say that Yosef deliberately did not get drunk so he could be level-headed when his brothers were dead?
There may be some perush that says that, but it's not the simple pshat in the psukim. It says, Vayishtu vayishkaru imo. They drank and got drunk with him. That's the simple pshat.
You might be thinking of it says, both brothers and Yosef vowed not to drink since.
Up to that time, they were all abstaining from wine. Yeah, up to that time.
So, how are we making this connection that them drinking then was some kind of attempt at atonement for Amalek?
Sfas Emes and Sarasota just say this. Okay. They have no proof. At least I don't recall them having any proof. I didn't quote everything they said. These are parts of long pieces. They just say it. They know these kind of things. It's nicer when they have proof, but you can't trust everybody. By everybody, I mean every Achron, every Chassidus Rebbe. Sfas Emes and Rav Tzadok you can trust. Okay. So now...
I'm sorry. When they said that
That was the first Suda's Purim, right? This was Emes. I'll just repeat in 2 seconds for Tzvi's benefit. The Sfas Emes and the Tzedakah Kohen say that when Yosef got drunk with his brothers, it was a kiyum of what we try to do on Purim of Ad Lo Yoda. So I want to try to shed some light on that idea. Okay, so now at the beginning of Parshas Vayeshev, it says, V'Yisrael ahav es Yosef mikol banav kiven zikunim hu lo. Yisrael loved Yosef more than all of his sons because he was a ben zikunim. So Rashi says that means, he arrived, based on Targum, he was a wise son. Others say ben zikunim, even simpler, he was a son born in his old age. The Baal HaTurim, which is not a pshat commentary, it's a drash commentary, says a few pshatim in ben zikunim. I'll share one of them with you. Zikunim is roshei tevos. Zeroyim kodshim noshim yeshuos moed. What's that a list of?
Sounds like some of them are the
Mishnayot. Orders of the Mishnah.
Not all of them.
Ah, this is the question. He says Yaakov learned these five orders of the Mishnah with Yosef, and that's Ben Zikun, and that's why he loved him. Now, a little detail, which we're going to get back to. What?
Who says that?
The Baal HaTurim, the son of the Rosh, the author of the Tur, Yaakov Baal HaTurim. Now, Zeroyim Kodshim Noshim Yeshuos Moed. Why Yeshuos? What's Yeshuos? You know, Yeshuos is a euphemism for Nezikin. Nezikin, damage, bad connotation. You say Yeshuos, salvations, instead of Nezikin. And there's a basis in Gemara for that. Because, and you find this by this lashon, by the way, in Rishonim, not just the Volatur. The Gemara, there's a pasuk in Yeshaya, Chosen Yeshuos Chochma, what's the name? Emunah Seitecha Chosen Yeshuos Chochma Vadas. You don't have to know the meaning of the pasuk. Six words in the pasuk. The Gemara says those six words correspond to the six orders of the Mishnah, and Yeshuos corresponds to Nezikin. So it's a nicer term to use than Nezikin, so that's the way it's said.
What was the name at the end?
Moed.
Where is it?
What?
This idea.
This is the Batra.
The six
Batra.
Batra. Four. Batra. Where is we get which idea?
Where is the Batra get the idea of Yosef?
He doesn't tell us. It's his own. Yeah.
About Taro.
Ah, that's the question. What about Taros? Why didn't Yaakov Inu teach him Taros? Yeah.
So why don't we call it
Yeshua? What?
Why don't we call it Yeshua?
You could.
It's
you know, it's the same kind of thing. I don't know if I mentioned it here, but you know, Chazal were more sensitive to clean language than we are. It's a fact. We have no hesitation to say the word Chazar, right? In Chazal, if they could, they'd avoid using the word Chazar. They'd say Dabar Acher. Same kind of thing. They don't want to say something negative. If you can avoid it, if you want to say Yeshuos and you want to say Dover Acher, go right ahead. If a person of you know with refined sensitivities will probably feel more comfortable using that kind of language.
Right. Yeshuos would be more refined language, right?
Yeah, Yeshuos is nicer to say. I mean, people say Nezikin without any indentation, but if you want to say Yeshuos, go right ahead.
What is Nezikin?
Damages.
As opposed to your shoes would be like
salvations.
Yeah.
Okay.
If Rav's not in the day, why does he not just say all six of them? Why does he have to say five of them?
That's the question.
Yeah.
The one that's missing is Taharos, laws of purity, right? Why didn't Yaakov Avinu teach Yosef the laws of purity? So, there's a sefer, I think I quoted in this class early in the year, a very early Ashkenazi Kabbalah sefer called Megala Amukos, and he says that the reason Yaakov didn't teach him Taros is because that's something that Yosef had to learn on his own when he, in Egypt. And you know that's he had Egypt is the most tame place in the world. It's through the negative that you can learn the positive. He couldn't teach him that. Okay, so let us presume that Yosef, at some point in his life, I think it's safe to assume, that he probably learned Seder Taros. If he had to learn it on his own, we can trust Yosef, right? when is it most likely that he learned what it is, what purity really means? Yeah. That's, you know, that's like the climax of Yosef, you know, that's the turning point.
I would say before that.
What?
I would say even before that.
Okay, when?
No, before that.
You just, you know, maybe, well, certainly by then. Okay.
What would he have learned to say? What would he have learned to Harod while he was with Asia Potiphar? He learned a strong lesson about okay. not doing the wrong thing, but the whole Seder Harod.
Well, you see, okay. One thing I want to tell you here. When it says that Yaakov Avinu taught... You know, I said this word over last week in Yesoda, and a guy asked me a good question. He says, so does that mean that Am Yisrael knew all the Mishnayos already in Har Sinai? I mean, didn't they knew it all in advance? They didn't have... I didn't have an answer then, but now I think I have the answer.
You have the same thinking about how Yaakov went to the yeshiva of Shabbos and Neve.
What about it?
He learned Torah and yeshiva.
But here it's something specific. Mishnayos. Mishnayos. Hey, I mean, that means you've got, you know, all the mitzvahs already. Mishnayos in great detail, all the mitzvahs. What I think it means is there's an Arizal, that says, you know, in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu manipulated the pregnant sheep and goats so that they gave birth. You know, they conceived when they were viewing these poles, and they gave birth to white. He says, you know what? When Yaakov Avinu was doing all these things, he was fulfilling Mrs. Tefillin. That's what the Ari says. You know what the Ari is saying? Well, at least part of what the Ari is saying. All right. Mitzvos have a certain act. We have to do a certain act. When we do a certain act, it unlocks a certain dimension of God's presence in the world. Okay? Once the Torah was given, it's standardized for all of us. The only way we are going to accomplish whatever tefillin is meant to accomplish is by doing what you do in the morning. But before the Torah was given, it was possible to do other things to arrive at the same, at the tefillin effect. Okay? So, by the same token, I think, and I'm pretty sure, when it says that Yaakov Avinu taught Yosef the six orders of the Mishnah, and when we're saying that he probably learned Torah somewhere along the line in Egypt, we're not saying that he had the same details that we have in our Mishnayos. We're saying whatever connection, knowledge of Mishnah brings us to creates between us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yaakov Avinu succeeded in imparting to Yosef. The effect of knowing the five Siddurim of Mishnah, however, in whatever form that took in those pre-Torah days, Yaakov Avinu passed on to Yosef. And somehow, through his not even necessarily the legal concepts, I think the spiritual concepts, the connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the sixth step, Yosef discovered on his own. It doesn't mean he knew the text of Seder Taurus and Mishnayos. Yeah.
So you're saying that by resisting Eshet Potiphar, he fulfilled the practical action of Seder Taurus?
No, I'm saying I don't know if he knew the halachos of Seder Taurus, but the spiritual concepts that the halachos express, that he knew. Okay, a deeper level of Seder Taurus.
Yeah, it's like, how's he going to know, Rabbi Yishmael over there?
Right. The fine details, I don't know if he knew. Okay, so now we would expect, perhaps, that there should be a hint that during his career in Egypt, Yosef mastered all six orders of the Mishnah, and indeed, this exists. When Paro installed Yosef as ruler over Egypt, it says, "Vayelbasho so bigdei sheish, something about I think I have it written down here. The Merkavas Mishnah, "Vayarkevo so b'Merkavas Mishnah Sherlo, Vayelbasho so bigdei sheish, Vayarkavo so b'Merkavas Mishnah Sherlo." So you have Chassidish Sforim. Where is it? It's in Perek Mem Bet in the case. All right, he clothed them with linen garments, and he had them ride in the chariot of the second in command. Yeah, that's pshat, but on a drash level, you find in Sfasemes, Mekeves HaMishnah, Oev Yisrael, all these Svarim, when he was riding in the Mekeves HaMishnah, that means Moshe Rabbeinu, Yosef HaTzadik became the master of the entire Mishnah. Entire Mishnah, six orders, and Vayelbash Oso Bigdei Sheish, he clothed him with linen garments, or the garments of six. He had all six orders of the Mishnah by that. And I have found another allusion to this idea. Because you keep on reading that pasuk, he named him Tsofnas Paneach, right? That was his Egyptian name. Tsofnas Gematria Taros. Paneach Gematria Zekunim plus one. You know, Gematrias are allowed to be off by one. Paneach Zekunim, and that extra one is called the Kolel, the factor that includes all the things together. Because if I know the entire Torah, it sheds light on every detail in the Torah, right? The more you know, the better you know everything else, because it fits into a framework better. So, true, he had five Siddurim beforehand, but once you know the sixth Seder, you got the entirety, you know the first five much better. You see how they fit into the framework. So that's an extra one that includes Paneach, Tsofnas, Taros. That brought a whole new dimension to the Zekunim also. Tsofnas Paneach is the name that tells us Yosef knew the entire Mishnah by it at this point. All six orders.
Can you say, what was the Hebrew word that had to do with six again?
Sheish. Bigdei Sheish. Linen garments, but it also means garments of six. Okay. So now, here come the brothers. And what is... They come back and... The instruction that Yosef gives to his... let me add something else. I told you that there's this pasuk in Yeshaya that the Gemara in Shabbos darshans as referring to the six orders of the Mishnah. Six words in the pasuk. Emunas itecha chosin yeshuas chochmas v'das. Das is taros. Why is das taros? There are different words for different kinds of knowledge in Lashon Kodesh, and they have specific meanings. Bina, Rav Shamshon Feuerherz says, Bina, under what we translate as understanding, Rav Shamshon Feuerherz says it's cognate with the word binyan, building. It's showing connections between things. Okay? Das is the opposite. The Gemara in the Yerushalmi says, why do we make Havdolah in Atafo Nigla Adam Das? Because in Ein Das, Havdolah Minayin. Without Das, how can you distinguish, separate between things? Das, Bina is associative knowledge, seeing connections. Das is seeing differences, seeing what makes different entities unique. And that's Taros. Taros, the whole thing is Tomei versus Tor. What's Tomei, what's Tor? Seeing differences, not bringing things together. Okay? Now, Yosef tells his steward, invite the guys in for the meal, not supper, because he says, Ki iti yochlu ha'anashim batzoharayim. With me, the men will dine at noon. The word soharayim. Tzadik and Tov. I forgot what these sounds are called, but they're interchangeable letters. They're both made with your tongue at the back of your teeth. Right? They're very close. In fact, in English, ts is ts and tes is t. They're very close. Right? Tzarayim, exchange the tzadik with a t, with a tes. You've got very close to tahor. Right? Unklus, in every place in Tanakh, except one, translates the word Saharayim as Tihara. In Aramaic, noon and Tahor are the same word. Because at noon, you see things in their purest state. It's a state. It's when the light is most intense. Right? Now, I said except one. What's the one that's the exception? Dafka this pasuk. instead of ki iti yochlu b'tzoharayim, he says ki iti yochlu b'sheuta. They'll eat with me at dinner. I will maintain, and you'll see I have a basis for this.
The word that he uses?
Sheuta. It means dinner. And the reason, I don't believe that that's a direct translation. You know, Targum Omnibus doesn't always translate directly. Sometimes it translates in context. Here, Tzorayim means dinner, but the word means noon. And my proof, my support, not proof, but strong support, is from Targum Yonasan. Not Targum Omnibus, the second most authoritative Targum, Targum Yonasan Mazil. He translates B'Tzorayim in his Pasuk, B'Sheiruta D'Tiharua, in the noon meal. Okay? So you see, for sure, according to Targum Yonasan, it still maintains the sense of tiara, tahara, and I'm pretty sure according to Targum Onkelos as well. So now, what did Yosef want to accomplish here? I'm going to eat with my brothers at the Taharos meal. You know what Yosef was hoping to bring about? He couldn't bring it about. First of all, you have to understand, Yosef had big, you know, when he saw his brothers, he had big ambitions. He saw Yad Hashem here. I'm together with my brothers. So we know the happy end was, oh, the family was reunited. According to the Sfas Emes, and I'll tell you his word where he says it in a minute, but let's get the principle first. Yosef was shooting for something much bigger. He is here in Egypt. He sees, whoa, my brothers are appearing for me. This is an opportunity. This is the Yad Hashem. You know what Hashem wants right now? He wants me to orchestrate everything to bring the final Geula. Okay? Now, let me digress for a minute. Where does the Sfas Emes say this? He says a very nice sport at the beginning of Parshas Vayigash. Yosef finally says, "Ani Yosef," right? And everybody's stunned, and you know, Yosef calms them down, and then they kiss each other. Okay? And then Yosef and Binyamin cry on each other's shoulders. And Rashi says, Rashi, based on Medrash, what are they crying about? Based on Medrash and the Mishkan. And the Sfas Emes says, what are you guys crying about? Hey, this is a wonderful time. Why all of a sudden you're thinking about the Chorban? Right? Enjoy each other, for heaven's sake. There's enough Tisha B'Av you'll cry about the Chorban. This isn't the time to cry about the Chorban. Right? And the Sfas Emes says, yes, it was. Yosef realized. You know, Yosef put his brothers through a hard time. He wanted to show that they are really devoted to Binyamin. Right? And they proved themselves. Baruch Hashem. Yosef was thinking, you know, I couldn't hold out any longer. I saw the agony of Yehuda. I saw his love for Binyamin. I broke down. I gave away the secret. If only I would have held out a little bit longer and put him through a little bit more hell, I could have brought the final Geula. And he's crying, oh no, there's going to be this Hamikdash, but it's going to be destroyed. And Binyamin realized what was going on also. They were crying. He viewed what happened as a failure. He could have brought the Geula if he would have been a bit tougher. But he, you know, listen, Yosef was only human too. He's got a heart. He broke down. Yeah.
How could he say that if he would have held against his brother? I mean, did he like see something? Was there like a...
He could have brought them even higher. How? I couldn't tell.
But how could he think, but why would he think that bringing the brothers higher would cause a geula?
That's what we're... When we perfect ourselves, we will bring the geula. The geula depends on us. How much tshuva can we do? He could have brought Yehuda to a higher level of tshuva.
But his brothers are only 12 people out of the entire world.
Were the whole Am Yisrael at that time. They were Am Yisrael. They were the whole Jewish nation. Okay? You got a question?
Yeah, similar.
Okay. Okay. So now Yosef is thinking the same kind of thing here. You know what he's thinking? I am going to have a Suda here. And you know, okay, 22 years ago, my father taught me 5 Siddurim of Mishnah. I know the whole Torah Shel Peh now. I know it all. I know 6 Siddurim. Now, my brothers, you know, they're not Batlona. And when I'm not around, they're learning, they probably know as much Mishnayos as I did when I left. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to teach them the 6th Seder of Mishnah. We're going to make, this is going to be a Suda of Taharos. Right? We're going to make a sea of Mishnayos. I'm going to teach my brothers what I know. They're going to have, what's the other name for Taharos in the Pasuk in Yeshaya? Das. I'm going to bring Das they don't have yet. I've got Das. They don't. I'm going to teach them at that meal Das. It's going to be Sheruta de Tiara, a meal of Taharos. And once you get to Das, you know what can happen? Go beyond Das. When do we do that? 2 weeks from Adlo Yoda. I'm going to make a Siyam Mishnayas. I'm going to teach them Seder Das. And then we're going to get drunk. We're going to make the Tikkun of Asuras Purim. That, I think, is at least part of what the Sfas Emes and Reb Tzadok say. But now we've got a problem. One of my rebbes in yeshiva, he's still alive, he's a very old man by now, maybe he's 90 years old. Remind me if I have time, after, I think I will, to tell you a story about him after I finish the vort. Rav David Tzvi Eliach, I learned in Yeshiva Sitri, in the Kolel of Yeshiva Sitri, and he was the mashgiach of the yeshiva then. And he wrote several sforim, he's a big Talmid Chacham. And one of them is called Mesoras HaTorah, it's about the Mesorah, how Torah Shebaal Peh has handed down through the generations. He makes a very nice point there. He says, many people have observed, when you learn Maseches Pora, about the Pora Aduma, you know, one of the main Tanoim who appears in Mishnayos and Brises more than many, not necessarily the most, but one of those popular ones is Rabbi Eliezer. Right? And in Pora, the overwhelming majority of the Mishnayos are taught by Rabbi Eliezer more than elsewhere. Why? It's a really good answer.
More than
other Tanoim. And more than Rabbi Eliezer, let's say he pops up in other Masechtas in 10% of the Mishnayos. Here he's in 40% of the Mishnayos. You can just see Rabbi Eliezer is all over the place. Right? Why? He says it had to be that way. Because we know this from many Gemaras. Rabbi Eliezer had a certain area of expertise. His mission was to memorize the entire Torah Shebaal Peh and maintain the tradition that nothing should get lost. The Torah wasn't written down yet in his day. His task was not to analyze, not to go deeply, but his task, he felt, was more, I'm not saying he wasn't deep, but he felt he's the one, Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai said about him, he's a Bor Sid. He's a plastered cistern, doesn't lose a drop. He had to memorize it all. So the laws of Pura Aduma, it's a chok. With Zvara, you can't figure out the laws of Pura Aduma. You can figure out things that are logical. Pura Aduma is not logical. You can only know it through Mesorah. So, there isn't any Zvara for it. That's Rabbi Eliezer's. Okay. Listen to what I just said. Pura, Seder Taros, right? You can't figure it out on your own. So how did Yaakov expect Yosef to figure out Seder Taros on his own? Where is he going to learn Pura Aduma from? Good question, eh? So, I think I have an answer. Yaakov, it's true that when he taught Yosef in Eretz Yisrael, when Yosef was still home, he only taught him 5 Siddurim Mishnah. But there was one time when Yosef saw Yaakov in Egypt, before the reunion with the brothers.
Ashes Potiphar.
What held Yosef back from falling? He saw his father's face. So now let me tell you more deep, more precisely what you're referring to. It says when Yosef was tempted, he was on the verge of sinning, the image of his father's face appeared to him. And didn't just see, his father told him something. What? I'll tell you what it says, and then I'll tell you what it means. His father said, all your brothers, on the shoulders of the Eivod, or the Kohen Gadol, 2 stones, 6 names of tribes on each stone. All your brothers are going to have their names engraved on the Begadim of the Kohen Gadol. But you, if you fail now, your name's not going to be there. and because you are going to be called, and here he has a quotation from a pasuk in Mishlei, because you're going to be a roeh zonos, somebody who frequents prostitutes. All right, watch out. This is what's what? Yeah. Oh, the stones of the ephod. If you fail now, your name's not going to be there because you're going to be a roeh zonos. Okay. So now, that's a Gemara in Sota. Now there's a Gemara in Eruvin. Discusses this pasuk in Mishlei that Yaakov was quoting. The pasuk says, "Veroeh zonos yovad hon." Someone who frequents prostitutes will lose a fortune, lose great fortune. So that can mean losing your name on the what's it? Okay, but listen to what the Gemara darshes. The basis of this drush is the following. The word zonos, the plural for prostitute, zona, appears a few times in Nach, but never with two vavs. Usually it's just Zion with the dot on top of it for the O. This word is zonos with two vavs in it. So the Gemara darshins, you know what the roeh zonos is on a much finer level. You darshin the word zonos is zonoe. This one's nice. The Gemara says this means somebody who, you know, when he's faced with a certain bit of Torah, different parts, different areas of Torah, and he says, oh, this is nice, I like this, I don't like this, I want to learn this, I don't want to learn that, right? That's a roeh zonos. Yaakov is telling him, listen, Yosef, this is your chance to learn Taharas right now. And if not, you're going to be a roeh zonos. You're going to be somebody who says, oh, Zeron Kochim Nashim Yishoos Moed, that I like. Taharos? No, that's not for me. Right? Here was his chance. Yaakov was saying, either you learn Taharos, or you're going to be one of those people who says, Zonoa, Zolonoa, Roeh Zonos. Let me just finish off. So that's when I will maintain that Yaakov taught Yosef Seder Taharos, when he had that miraculous vision. And a remez for this, Rashi doesn't quote this Gemara directly that Yaakov appeared, but he paraphrases it. And it says, Rashi says, Demus diukno shel aviv niralo. The image of his father's face appeared to him. Demus diukno. Demus diukan gematria taharos. And that vav at the end, six orders of the Mishnah. Yes, you had a question.
Yeah, is there any, connection between the fact that specific Seder Mishnah was Taharot and what Yosef was involved in at the time that he learned Taharot?
Surely. When you're pure, that means you don't contaminate yourself with sexual morality. That's a very important part of purity. Surely. Okay?
What was it that Yosef was being taught by Yaakov when he left? He says, tell my father you were...
Yeah, we were learning Parah Aduma.
So that's Taharot.
Excuse me. No, not Parah Aduma. My mistake. Egla Rufa, not Parah Aduma. Egla Rufa. That's the Nezikin. That's when somebody gets killed in between two cities. You don't know the murderer. That's the atonement. You break the...
You know they did that in Israel?
What?
I saw in the news they did that in Israel. There was a woman who was sadly run over. A woman in the army was run over, and the rabbis decided to do it with a cow.
Wild. This is the first time in ages that anybody's done that.
Some
woman was killed. It must have been hit and run. Why don't we do it? I don't know. I think we need a basin of 23, and we don't have a basin of 23. I think that's why. What? No, no. You don't feel the animal. You break the animal's a calf's neck. And that's the atonement for... And you recite something, and it's not our fault that the guy died. Okay, I was going to tell you a story about the Rav Dovitzky Eliyahu.
First, can you just repeat one time the connection between the feast and the Purim?
Yeah, the feast was Taharos, teaching them Taharos. Taharos is Das. Mm-hmm. He's teaching them Das. You need to get to Das before you can get to Ad Lo Yada. So he wanted to bring them to Das, and then they got drunk so they can get to Ad Lo Yada. Mm-hmm. Now, why he failed, I don't know. That's what he obviously at that point didn't achieve what he was trying to achieve, but he tried. Okay. Now the story, it's not such a great story, but it's one of these things I want somebody to remember it sometime, okay? This was, I was learning Kolo, and we were learning Maseches Ksuvos, and for some reason I needed to look, I was stuck on something, I needed to look something up in Maseches Sanhedrin. So I get up and I go over to the bookshelves, and I look through all the sets of Shas. I couldn't find Sanhedrin. And I went up and down all the tables in the Beis Medrash. The Beis Medrash is a little bit bigger than the one we have over here. I looked on every table. I looked on every shtender. I was looking for a Maseches Sanhedrin. Couldn't find it. I went back to the bookshelves. And Rav David Tzvi Elliott was sitting in the front of the Beis Medrash. He gets up, walks over to where I'm standing in front of the bookshelves, pulls down a Sanhedrin, hands it to me, walks back to his seat. I don't know. I never spoke to him about it. It's just, it happened to me. All right, gentlemen, we'll meet again next week. And I may be tempted to talk about Purim.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Sure.
You won't be upset with me if I do, eh?
No.